as an obituary writer. And I'm thinking, is this the best job in journalism I can get? And they said, just about. And so I went to next door, and they were having interviews for buyers for a department store. I said, that's how I like clothes. I'll become a buyer for a department store. And that's how I got there. And then when I got there, I said, you know, I really don't like being a buyer for a department store. What else can I do?
Now, you had grown up in Indiana.
Yes.
And then your job at the department store was in Texas.
Correct.
So you had moved south. Okay.
Yes. And I said, well, I really hate this. And so, so what else can I do? So I opened up the want ads. So I was looking at which section has the most job openings. Accountants, no, don't like numbers. Computer science, well, that's a new technology. I don't know anything about computers. And I said, somebody said, you know, why don't you go to law school? I said, law school? I said, well, how hard is that? Oh, a medical school was another one. And I said, I could probably be a good doctor, but I don't like blood and guts, so I probably wouldn't make it. And I said, lawyer, all you have to do is read and write. I can do that. So I figured I'd squirrel myself away in law school for 3 years while I figured things out. And so when I came out of law school and I went back and tried to get a job in journalism, well, you're a lawyer. Well, yeah, I'm a lawyer, but, well, no, you're a lawyer. We don't have any openings in our legal department. Yeah, but I don't really want to be a lawyer. I just went to law school, so now you're a nut. So I got stuck in law school, so to speak, or in the law game, but I succeeded in it. But, no, I never had that crushing desire to go in and right the wrongs and all that.
We should mention you did succeed in it.
I mean,
you advanced highly and
yes.
were appointed to state
commissions
boards,
and boards
as a
yes.
consumer advocate.
Yes.
But writing was always in the back of your mind?
I always, if you look at my history, I always wrote in every position I was in. When I went to the department store, they had a defunct newspaper, and I brought that back to life. And so that...
An in-store sort
in-store,
of thing?
Yeah. Company-wide newspaper. So I brought that back to life. When I went to law school, I was editor of Law Review. So I'm still writing. I'm just not writing what I want to write, but I figured the genre or the ability, the capability was still there. And the most successful things I did in law were basically hinged on my ability to write, because I like to tell a story to the judge. And I think they enjoyed mm-hmm. reading what I wrote, because they always would comment on, you know, you're a great writer and all this kind of stuff. So finally, and I've always written newspaper articles, but magazine articles. I got a job interviewing artists, fine artists. And then in the law, I developed an expertise at writing and breaking contracts, because that's just written. So I use whatever type of analytical skills I had, whatever writing skills I had to do those things. So it was always there. And then out popped tricked.
Well, now Trick, the protagonist, it works in the world of high finance.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think that your legal background helped fuel your ability to write her?
I think more of my experiences in life fueled that. I think that because I was when I got into law and got into the entertainment industry as a lawyer, I was the only female I saw. This was back in the early 80s. So when I would go into meetings as the only female, that's what kind of did it. So as it would hinge on being a lawyer, that was the experience of the law that I brought to the book. But it was more of being the only woman in the room and how people dealt with you and how I had to deal with people, because I like to tell a story of I went to a meeting with a record executive, very important record executive. And he said, is your boss coming? I said, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so I'm sitting there, and so he said, well, would you mind going to get me some coffee? I said, yeah, yeah, okay, yeah, yeah. And so I went and got it. All my friends know I don't drink coffee. I don't know anything about coffee. I said, I fixed him up some, too. I really fixed it. And I brought it back, and he said, well, how do you keep your job fixing coffee like this? I said, oh, well, you know, I don't know. And so he said, well, what time is your boss going to get here? I said, well, I think you're talking to me today. So, of course, my client walked out with everything that we wanted, because he was so
embarrassed,
you know. And so it was more from those experiences as a lawyer that led to a lot of the elements that this character had more than anything else.
I've read that you've said it was 2 years to write, 10 to publish.
Right.
Which, for a first novel, that is not an unusual experience.
Yeah, yeah.
But some of the rejections or some of the publishers gave you some eye-opening comments, didn't they?
Yeah, yeah. Well, the thing about this young lady in her life is that, as it relates to the publishers who all wanted the book, and I was always told, you know, it's going to be impossible. And so I said, well, I'm just going to send it anyway. So I started with the little query letter and the first three chapters, and everyone I sent it to asked for the manuscript. And I was so excited that they said they want. And so of the five I sent it to, three of them contacted me and said, we really love this book. And we really like your writing style. You've created a new writing style. We're not familiar with this writing style, but it's so interesting. But the only thing about it is she's not black enough. And I'm like, really? and then another one said, you know, it's a great book, great story, so different. Can you just kind of ghetto her up a little bit? And I didn't take it as a mean review or even a racist review. I took it as an indication that the commercial aspect of the industry couldn't find a place for a book like this at that time, because you don't find a lot of literature where the main character may or may not be African-American, who is not a victim, who doesn't come from the hood, mm-hmm. who doesn't have the stereotypical background. And that was because most of my friends don't come from that background. The people I associate with don't have that in their background. So I felt that there was a gaping hole in literature that portrayed the black experience as being so one-dimensional, you know. And so, I felt like that's where they were coming from, more than a hit against the person. So that, at least that's how I took it. They might have meant it another way, but that's how I took it.
So what would you do with those comments? You'd say, thanks, but no thanks. I'll keep
going. Well, I took it as I loved it. I loved it. I took it as the highest compliment, because that meant to me that they got it. And they liked it. They got it. They liked it. Their problem was they didn't know how to market it. Mm-hmm. They didn't know who to market it to, because at that time, and to a certain degree at this time too, when you go into the bookstore, where do they put this book? Do you put it in the African American section, or do you put it in the
mystery or thriller releases?
But they're not used to doing that. They're used to segregating all the books that are written by black authors into the African American literature section, which means 95% of the people walk right by it. And that's how and talking to some people in the bookstore industry, that's what they basically told me. That's the problem they have. They don't know how to market these books because they're afraid that people in the general public won't like it. And then they've gotten, you know, so those were the issues that they were dealing with. And that's how I took it, you know. And I guess coming out of the music industry, I understood that. Because if you come out with a singer who's different than what we're selling, mm-hmm. what do we do with that person? Our machine is set up for this. Our machine is not set up for this. So we don't know if we want to spend the money on that.
So the marketing that you have taken with Tricked is kind of a guerrilla, sort of, here I am, here it is.
And we have been so blessed is the only word I can say about it. People have gravitated toward it. People like it. Men like it. Women like it. All ethnicities like it, because most of us find ourselves in this character because she's a person who has determined her direction. And she's marching toward it. And we all find ourselves in the politics of the office. So I think that's what a lot of people say. Oh, the politics of the office, they're the same no matter what color you are. And so she finds herself in the politics of the office, and she wins. And, you know, but as what is winning in her world?
Exactly.
But in her world, she won whatever the battle was, because she would fight no battle before she knew what was on the other side.
She's thrown some curveballs.
Oh, she's thrown some big ones. And she ducks, she dodges, she bobs and weaves. So, and that's what I like about her. She's resilient. She's smart. She's got a soft side. She's complicated. And I think that that's what, when I speak to women and when I speak at book events around the nation, when people come and want to talk about the book, that's what they talk about, is how this is a complicated person. She's not one-dimensional, and like us, we're not one-dimensional. We all have good days, we have bad days, and given a set of circumstances, what would you do? If these were the circumstances, what would you do? So there's questions about her character. And it was fun for me to explore the character of this person.
People have mentioned about the writing style. You mentioned that publishers mentioned it. Mm-hmm. And it is different.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes sparse, sometimes a word.
Mm-hmm.
Will move the story along.
Right. Well, when I went to, we had a book signing at Columbia University in New York, and I met a English professor there, and she had read half the book. She hadn't finished it, and she wanted to come and meet me and say, and she said, "You created this wonderful writing concept." She called it the staccato sentence.
Mm-hmm.
I said, "Oh, okay, yeah, that's what it is." I didn't know that. Yeah, but that's what it is, and what it was meant to do was capture a series of thoughts in one word, because I wanted you to bring your own experience to it, because if the sentence is danger, I wanted you to bring whatever your experience or whatever your thoughts of danger are to that word, because what's danger to you might not be danger to me, but danger to you is danger to you. So when she says danger, fear, anger, that you know exactly what that means to you. So I didn't want to give you the what to think. I just wanted to give you the headline, because I think that's how we think anyway. I don't think in sentences and paragraphs. I think in one word. I'm sleepy, I'm tired, I'm hungry. You know, I don't go through, "I'm hungry today and I think I'm very sleepy." And I just wanted you to get a grasp of how quick her mind was working in certain circumstances.
Cynthia A. Miners, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for allowing me to come to Fayetteville, Arkansas.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you so much.